First Chronicles chapter 29, and I'm just going to read the first 19 verses and then kind of draw some things out of the passage. It says, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal. Gold for things of gold, and silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? The chief of the fathers, and prince of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and hundreds, with the rulers of the kings, worked, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly unto the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision." And so, in this passage, we see what David is talking about is his preparation for building the temple. And I think all of us understand, if we're going to do something, we're going to do it well, there is a necessity in preparation. I know for myself, with a lot of different carpentry jobs that I do, that it's kind of, if you want it done well, you have to, there's a lot that goes in. If I just show up on the job site without any, just kind of there and just kind of think to get started, it's like, usually it's not going to go well. That there has to be a lot that happens before, that I have to get an idea of what materials I'm going to need, make sure they get on site. I need to know what tools I need, make sure I bring them along. And a lot of times you want to have some kind of plan that you can follow, right? That we understand that. And it's with a lot of things we do. Say if you're going to take a test, like my daughter, she's doing her learning to drive, right? And it's like, if she went to take her driver's test without any practice, without any preparation, probably not going to go very well, right? And so we understand that it's important to have preparation. And we see with David here, that he had in his heart, he wanted to build a temple to the Lord. And it was a way of honoring God, just kind of giving him a permanency, giving him just a place of honor in their nation. And we find what happened was that God appreciated his desire, but said he wasn't allowed to do that. We see 1 Chronicles 28 verse 3 says, God said to me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. And he promised him that, well, your son, he's going to live in peace, and I'll have him build the house instead. And so we see that he was not able to do it himself, but we recognize that he did all that he could. And 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 5, he said, so David said, Solomon my son is young and tender, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. And so we see that, and really in chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles, we have David basically detailing just that he wanted to build this temple for the Lord. He wanted it to be done right. He wanted it to be, we see there, 1 Chronicles 29 verse 1, that the work is great for the palace. We're speaking of a temple, and that's kind of the interesting thing, is basically looking at the temple of the Lord as being a palace for God. That he was a king, and kings always live in palaces, but he thought, well, God is much greater than me. He needs a house better than mine. And so you really think that, and so we see all this stuff that he prepared, and we actually find in the previous chapter that that the Holy Spirit had actually given him a pattern of what the temple was going to look like, and so he laid that out to Solomon, how everything was supposed to be put together and built. And then he got all the material, and this wasn't just wooden nails. We see gold and silver and precious stones and all these things. Where he even found all these things would have been, in those days, would have been remarkable in and of itself. And so we see there's a lot of preparation done. And it was for God's holy house, and they wanted to build a house, verse 16, for his holy name. They wanted to show honor to him. And so this was in building in the Old Testament the earthly temple. And so what kind of got me thinking with this, of course, is we don't have a physical temple in the same way as they did in the Old Testament. There's not a need for that in the New Testament era, but we do see in the New Testament it speak about a temple for God. And what do we recognize that to be? We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And so, with this, kind of got me thinking that it's like, David was wanting to have this place that was a dwelling place of God, the temple of God in his day. It was going to be this building, right? And because he loved God, because he saw God for who he was like, okay, I want to make sure I have everything in place. I'd love to build this myself, but I can't. But I want to make sure I prepare as much as I can to so that it will be as wonderful of a temple as I want it to be. But it's the thought that today, that the thought, okay, if we're the temple, if if each of us, we say, okay, my body is temple of the Holy Spirit, that He dwells within me, that if that is the case, should not I be doing much to prepare my heart so that it would be a place that He would feel comfortable in being, that He is honored in? And so there's a verse in Exodus chapter 15. Just wanted to share Exodus chapter 15. And verse 2, Exodus 15, verse 2, this is Moses speaking. He says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him." That it's the thing is that there's a sense of God is going to dwell within us, dwell in our hearts. Should not we be preparing Him a habitation? And we want to just kind of understand that sense of the idea of preparing our heart, that the Bible speaks about that. We see, and this is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it talks about different things about, he's talking about different false doctrine that's out there and other things, and some the idea of how as Christians we're to depart from iniquity. But he says that there's different vessels of gold and silver, of wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. But it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, so these things of wrong doctrine, things of iniquity, it says, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And so it's the thing is that the Holy Spirit is a temple within us, and we understand is that He wants to work through us, to do a work in our community, to those around us, to show His love and grace and truth to them. And so it's a thought that if He has that heart or that desire, that we want to be doing what's necessary to prepare ourselves so that we're met for the Master's use, we're prepared unto every good work. That there's a necessity if God's going to use us, if God's going to bless our lives and use our lives to bless others, then we understand that there's some preparation that's needed. We actually see, this is in, back in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 12, that this chapter deals with King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, whose reign as king, whose really much of his life as an adult ended up being a complete disaster. He just didn't do very well as king. It was under his reign that the kingdom was divided. And they had a civil war, and it was a lot of, because of his bad leadership. But it makes this summary of his life. It says, "And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." And so you think about that, that he, it's saying that because he didn't prepare his heart, because he didn't take seriously what he was doing and the responsibility that was upon him, he wasn't focused on seeking God. He was just seeking his own things. And he missed out on being a blessing to others and really made a real mess of his life. But in contrast to that, we see in Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7, it says this of him, Ezra chapter 7 verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." And so we see that he had a preparation of his heart, that he wanted to understand God's word, and he didn't want to just understand it and know it. He wanted to put it into practice in his life, and he also wanted to not just teach it. He want, or just to do it, he wanted to be able to teach it to others so they would do it. And we see with his life that he prepared his heart and he was successful in these things, that's what we actually find through the rest of Ezra and into the book of Nehemiah, that he was one that would teach the people and help them through some very difficult times in their nation's history. But also, we see that really in a time where there was really kind of a revival and more of a people really got right with God and focused on spiritual things and getting themselves cleansed, that we actually see that in Nehemiah 8, where it talks about how actually the people came and they knocked on Ezra's door and they said, please come out and teach us God's word. And so he would come out and he would read the Bible and everybody would stand up and listen to it, and it just had a great effect on him. And so he was really in the midst of being a blessing to his people, being used of God, and a lot of it came because of his preparation that he made. That's what the Bible lays out, that there's a preparation that's necessary. And so it's kind of the thing that we want to think about, that we know that as soon as we trust Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells within us, and he's never going to leave us. But a lot of times we don't really give him the place within us that he's due, right? That we kind of have him become a resident within us, but he's one of many. That it's kind of the difference. You can think of it this way. There's a big difference between being just a resident of a country and being the president of a country, right? And that's kind of the sense that we have, is that God, the Holy Spirit within us, should be the one presiding over our life, right? But a lot of times what it is we allow him to have kind of part of our life, but then we have these other kind of back rooms where we don't really want him to go because we're embarrassed about it, things that we're holding on to. And a lot of times that we grieve and quench the Spirit's work in our lives, things that we do things that we shouldn't, that grieves him, and we don't do things that we should, where he's trying to encourage us to do something good, something that's going to be a blessing to others, and we just pour cold water on that, say, no, I'm not going to do that. And so that's, we understand, is that that's not the way it should be, and that's not the attitude we should have, that we should be so glad that he is a part of our life. We should recognize his presence within us, but it's something too that we should really value him and honor him in our lives. And so it's kind of with David, you kind of see the heart that he had, because he loved the Lord, he wanted to honor him, want to do right by him, that he did all this abundant preparation. So it's the same idea. We should have the same heart for God that David did. And so we should have that same desire to prepare our hearts for the Lord. Just wanted to turn to one last passage here. This is Isaiah chapter 40. And this is speaking prophetically. These are actually words we see that John the Baptist quoted during his ministry. But we see in Isaiah 40 verse 3, it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." That you kind of think of with the preparation for the temple that was made, and then all the time, I think it was several years that it took in the building of the temple. But we see that it got to a place where they consecrated the temple for God's service, and we find that the glory of the Lord filled the temple to the point that those that were in couldn't minister because of God's presence within it. And it's kind of the thing is that the idea is that as we prepare our hearts, that of course the Lord is in, but it allows himself to be more and more manifested in our lives as we do so. And so it's kind of the idea is that we want to prepare the way for the Lord. And on ideally what we understand is that we're to be a conduit, that we're the way that God can reach the world, right? That it's He, the Holy Spirit, resides in us, works through us to be a blessing to others. And so we don't want anything to get in the way of that channel that God wants us to be, right? That we go, that as He speaks to us, that we yield to Him, and then others are blessed as a result. And so it's a thing that we want to make straight that way of the Lord, that we want to be used of God for others to come to know the Lord, to get help in the struggles that they face. And so we need to prepare ourselves, prepare this way. And so we just kind of see some different thoughts there. We can look at this in some ways of in terms of someone building a road and wanting to make it as straight as possible. That it's like if there's valleys, you'd say if there was like big dips in the road that you'd want to fill those in. If there's big mountains, they'd try to knock them down. If it was really crooked, they'd try to straighten it out. If something was rough, they'd try to smooth it out, just so that then there wouldn't be anything impeding the Lord to come. But you could think of it in this way, that it's like we had Queen Elizabeth come to Kindersley, I think it was back in 87, if I remember correctly. But just imagine if we heard from Buckingham Palace that she was going to come through Kindersley again, right? Now, if we knew that she was going to have a procession, and the procession was going to take her down some roads that had a lot of cracks and potholes, would we just say, oh, well, whatever, it's no big deal. She's not going to care. It'd be like, no, we wouldn't want her to think that that's what our street is. And so even though there might be other streets that maybe are in worse shape, if that's the path that she's going to take, that'll be the priority, right? And like you'll get like all new blacktop and it'll look as beautiful as possible because you're preparing for the Queen to come, right? And it's the same ideas for the Lord, that he's greater even than Queen Elizabeth. And so it's that sense that we want to have that. And so we can apply this in a sense, not to speaking of physical roads, but into our hearts, that there's low places that need to be lifted up, that you kind of think every mountain hill, that's sometimes areas of pride that we need to humble ourselves. We need to be made low. There's things that are crooked where we've kind of, God wants us to go this way, and we want to basically take the scenic route and go our own way, and eventually maybe kicking and streaming will go God's way, where He's wanting to get us to just follow Him obediently. And I think all of us have some rough patches in our life, and He's wanting to help us. And so it's kind of the thing is that we want to have that thought of that if we are a temple of the Lord, we want to have our hearts prepared. And I think a blessing is with it is that we sometimes look at our lives as being such a mess, but yet the Holy Spirit's come in and He wants to help us in the whole cleansing process. It isn't like, and that's something I think we want to understand. It isn't like the temple where it's like, well, we have to get this really beautiful for God to come in, but then if we do something wrong, then He's going to leave. That He's with us all the time. But it's the thing, because He's with us because He's never going to leave us, because He's our constant companion and friend and help, that we should value His presence, we should seek to honor Him, and it's really something that we, I think as believers, we want to say, okay, enough's enough, there's things that I just need to deal with, because He knows it's there, and I can't hide it from Him. I just need to start dealing with those things. He's going to help me do that if I'm willing. He's certainly able to point them out to me, things that I don't recognize need work. But it's kind of the thing, is that any time that we want to do anything to help someone else, to be used of the Lord, to help others, help in our community, we want to understand is that there's that preparation time, that we need to take our time to prepare ourselves to be used of God. There's things that have to be purged out, and I think there's time where we need to just spend time in prayer and just say, Lord, is my heart ready? Do I have the right focus? I think too often we you kind of think of it, if you're going to take some kind of test that you need to pass, say if you were in high school or college and you wanted to pass so you could graduate or get your degree, you didn't waltz in the day of the test without ever having opened your books, right? That you did intense preparation so that you're ready for the test, right? And it's kind of the thing that in life, there's going to be lots of tests and each day, and the consequences of us passing or failing those tests is usually much more significant than some tests that we might take in school, because a lot of times we can, even if we were to fail, we could just take it again later on and we could pass, whereas some of the things in our daily life have serious consequences. So it's that thing of understanding is God wants us to be prepared, He wants to help us be prepared, and so it's learning to take that time to do so. And so with all this, like it's maybe just a bunch of random thoughts, but I just wanted it's sort of what the Lord was speaking to me from that passage, and so I just wanted to share that. But it is that thought that we see David's heart, where he loved the Lord, and even though he wasn't allowed to build it, he did all he could to prepare for it. And it's the thing, too, is that you can think of it this way, that all that God wants us to do, it's something He's going to do through us. But there's much that we can do to prepare for being used of Him. And if we take that time of kind of self-examination, dealing with and confronting sin in our life and getting victory through His power, that's when we really can find that we're sanctified, we're prepared unto every good work. And so may the Lord help us in this, that we would learn to take that time to prepare our hearts so that we can be more greatly used of Him. So that's the lesson for tonight. So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Dearly Father, we just thank You again for Your word, and we thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for the help You seek to be to us. We know we can't grow, we can't really be a help to others in our own strength, Lord, that it's always fall short, but we are just so thankful that You want to be that help to us through the day to do great things for You. And we just pray You would guide us, Lord, through the week, and just help us, Lord, to seek You and seek to have our hearts prepared so that we can be that holy temple for You that we should be. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.